Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there. Out there. Out there. Out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Thanks for joining me on Out There. My name is TJ Ryan. My guest is from Petoskey, Michigan. Boy, there is a lot of stuff going on in Lower Michigan, or maybe it's just me. I just keep hearing about this stuff. Of course, a good couple of good friends of mine send me a lot of emails about different events, different people. Maybe some of that stuff goes on all over the place. I don't know. Jill Cornwell is on the phone this morning from Petoskey. Hi, Jill.
Hi, TJ.
Thanks for joining me. Now, how long have you been in Petoskey?
I've been here, well, moved back again about 5 years ago.
You're originally from what town?
Wolverine.
Now, you do something that's called telepathic animal communication. First of all, I'm guessing you must have had animals your whole life around you?
Yes.
Me too, as a kid. And you have a deep love for animals?
Yes.
And you see them as maybe there's more to them than meets the eye.
Exactly. Yep, there's a lot more going on that people just don't know about.
Now, what kind of animals have you had throughout your life?
Mostly cats. I've had a couple of horses.
Mm.
I have one now. I always wanted a dog, but my mom said, when you move out on your own, you can get a dog. So as soon as I graduated from college, that's what I did.
Got a dog?
Yep, got a dog.
Do you have one now?
Yep. She's actually my second dog. My first one passed away about 2 years ago.
Now, do you have a family? I mean, do you live in with your family?
My husband and my four-legged children.
That probably was not a lot of fun to give birth to those, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no.
They're a little furry. Maybe that's easier. I don't know. So you do something that's called telepathic animal communication, and you've done this for how many years?
About 10 years.
Now, how did you get started on that?
Well, I just happened to run across a book about a woman who did it, and she just had all these interesting stories about, you know, behavioral problems that she talked to the animals about, and they told her their version and about, you know, why they had these behaviors and whatnot. And,
wow.
And how just her speaking with them changed the relationship between, you know, them and their owners.
Isn't that something? So the animal is much more intelligent than what we give it credit.
Yes. Yes.
And they actually can communicate with us.
Yes. They, the way I do it is I get pictures, feelings. A lot of times they do use words, because they live with us, so they hear us talk.
Mm.
And they also get scents and taste. You know, if you ask them what their favorite treat is and you taste peanut butter, then you know that's what it is.
But do they speak like a regular sentence when they do talk?
Sometimes.
Sometimes they do?
Yeah, sometimes.
So they're capable of doing that. Do they have likes and dislikes?
Yes. Yep. They'll... you know, people will say, how do they feel about my son? And they'll be like, oh, you know, they'll say, oh, I don't like him because he's too rowdy.
Mm.
Or tell him to stop pulling my ears.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
And do these people get I'm guessing you don't know a lot about these people and their relationships with the animals, right?
No, it's actually easier with an animal you know absolutely nothing about.
Okay, so when you tell him he doesn't like it when I pull my ears, and they go, how do you know that? Do you ever get that?
And that adds the credibility to it, because here, you know, I'm talking to someone over the phone who I have never met. I've never seen their animal before. You know, and they ask questions for their animal through me, and I give them these answers, and they're really astounded, and they can't disregard what I give them because I have no way of knowing these things.
So anybody can contact you, and you'll be able to probably help them, or you can try to help them. Now, do you have a certain charge if you let's say you talk to somebody over the phone?
Yeah, it's $45 for half an hour.
Okay, well, that's not a bad price to pay to figure out why the cat keeps pooping on the floor and not in the...
Right.
My brother was just talking to me about this, about one of the cats he used to have, and the cat would go down in the basement. Now, it's passed away. It's been a while, but it decided to start... And I've heard that sometimes they do that because they don't like the smell or it doesn't feel natural to them.
Right. A lot of times the scented litter, people, you know, really buy the scented litter that has a strong smell. And you think about the cat, their nose is only about 4 inches off of that litter, and they're stirring it up, and it can be pretty disturbing for them. So
they decide to just leave a nice little present somewhere else.
Yeah, so they just decide to go somewhere else.
Okay. Well, that's at least one answer I can give my brother. Jill, if you want to contact Jill Cornwell, what is your email address?
It's jillcornwell@gmail.com.
Okay.
And that's JILLCORNWELL.
@gmail.com. Yes. She doesn't have a website yet, and I don't know if you're comfortable giving out your phone number. Is that something you want to do, or you just want to stick with the email?
Through my email, yep, and then I can give you my phone number from there.
Okay, that's probably a good way to go about getting a hold of her. She is a telepathic animal communicator, something you've been doing. How do you know when you feel like you've received something that is accurate?
It just sort of comes out of the blue. A lot of times it's sort of surprising even to me. When I first talk with an animal, I ask them if I can speak with them. I ask permission, and most of them, you know, will be very agreeable to it.
Hmm.
And then I get sort of their first reaction of how I would meet them in person. And sometimes I feel like, you know, like the dog is all over me and licking me, and so I'll tell the owner that that's how the dog is greeting me. Or sometimes they'll be real shy and kind of reserved, and then the owner can verify, and then I know that I've gotten the right animal.
Because I suppose other ones could come through. So you're really picking up like a psychic connection, a telepathic connection with these animals. I mean, do you ever have that for humans as well? Or
no, not as much, really.
You don't pick that up with humans?
No. You would think it would go all, you know, both ways. But I find animals a lot easier because they're so genuine.
Okay.
I think people...
Most of us are phonies, you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, people like try to hide their true selves, I think, a lot of times.
Yeah, I'm pretending to be something I'm not, so she doesn't see through that. And
yeah.
An animal just is what it is, you know?
Exactly.
Cats don't put on a fancy suit and walk around.
No. Nope.
Especially with cats. You know where cats are at. They'll let you know.
Oh, exactly. I find a lot of them are fairly pretentious. And, they're the ones that usually, don't want to talk to me right this second, or... You know, they'll say, oh, just a minute. You know, I'll get back with you in a minute. So
that's interesting. Now, how did you develop this skill? Is this something you had, you thought you had at an early age, or is it something you kind of grew into or developed?
Well, I think something I kind of developed. I've always had an affinity with animals. I've always, you know, I think sort of known what they needed intuitively. But after reading the book that this lady wrote.
What was the name of the book that you read?
It was What the Animals Tell Me.
Okay.
And
who's the author of that?
You know, I don't remember anymore. She was an English woman.
Oh, is that the gal that has her own internet show?
I think so. I think
Sonia or Sonia?
Yes, Fitzpatrick.
Yes, yes, I know who she is. I've heard her talk many times. I think it's really neat because she'll go, I used to listen to on Sirius Satellite, and she goes, oh, hello. And then the animal, she goes, oh, I'm picking up Tabby. And Tabby is not real pleased. She's friendly,
yeah,
but she...
accent, yeah.
Yes, and she says, oh, but she thinks the dog is a bit of show-off, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, so the cat is talking about how it feels about the family members, including the dog.
The dog, yep,
and
exactly.
And to think that they know what a show-off is, you know.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly. That's how, yep, they use the words. And a lot of times you interpret, too, the feelings that they get.
Right,
know, that
that's what she said.
That the dog is just putting on airs.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And she talked about, you know, when people would say, oh, she likes to have her belly scratched, and she likes to eat this, and she loves it when so-and-so comes over. And So that's similar to what you do.
Exactly.
That's awesome, because I love listening to Sonia. I was always wondering, is she really making that up?
No, that's the way it is. And I thought the neat thing in her book, and I've read this in all the other animal communication books, is that everyone has this ability, and it's something that you can work on yourself. And
so could you tell us, when we come back in the next break, could you maybe give us some ideas? Is this something you could tell all of us that we could do if we wanted to?
Sure.
All right. Jill Cornwell is from Petoskey, Michigan. She does something called telepathic animal communication, and it's really, you know, I was hoping this is the road we would go down, and that's really cool. So hold on, we'll be back with part two coming up with Jill in just a moment.
Hi, this is Jill Cornwell, and I'm a telepathic animal communicator out of Petoskey. If you would like to contact me with questions about your own pets, you can reach me at Jill Cornwell, that's J-I-L-L-C-O-R-N-W-E-L-L, at gmail.com. And I can do private readings for you. It's $45 for a half an hour. I can also do a reading via email where I will write down everything I get, which people sometimes like because they can go back and refer to what their pets have said. So if anyone is interested in contacting me, that would really be great. Thank you.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
My name is T.J. Ryan. You're listening to Out There. Jill Cornwell is from Petoskey, Michigan, which is, those of you not familiar, even from in this country or not from Michigan that are listening to this podcast, how far is Petoskey from the Mackinac Bridge? How far would you say that is, Jill?
Oh, probably 45 miles.
Okay, so it's not real far south of there. And I'm doing this interview out of Escanaba, Michigan, which is, if you look at Michigan, you got the mitten, and then above it, you got the ugly-looking bird, or whatever you want to call that. That's where I live.
I think it looks like a rabbit.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So we're talking about telepathic animal communication, and you were going to tell us how anybody could do this. What are some steps that people could take to maybe learn how to do this?
First of all, don't start with your own animal.
Okay, that's really?
They're the hardest because you know them so well. So if you ask them what their favorite snack is, you know, you already know what that
right.
is. So you second guess yourself. So it's easier to do it with a friend's animal or, you know, an acquaintance, someone who can verify what you get, but you don't know the animal very well.
Mm.
And you just sort of clear your mind. You know, I meditate for a couple of minutes, but people get scared of that word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically you just kind of clear your mind and get rid of the chatter.
Right.
And then you say the animal's name, you know, Sadie, and kind of call their name in your head, and then you ask them if you can speak with them. So I would say, Sadie, is it okay if I speak with you? And you'll usually get a yes, and you just, I sort of imagine a yes, you know, in your mind, so you kind of help yourself along with a positive, you know, positive thought.
You've never had anyone that says, no, leave me alone.
Well, I had one who didn't want to speak with me right at that moment. Her, she had just bitten a woman, and she was in a boarding kennel, and her mom had passed away just hours before. And so she was really, you know, just didn't want to be around anybody, didn't want to talk to anybody. So I wanted to ask her about the biting incident, but she really shut down.
Mm.
So I told her I would talk with her tomorrow, and she said that would be okay.
And did you talk with her?
Yep. So I talked with her.
And did you find out why she bit the woman?
Yeah, she said the woman was in my space. I just, you know, she was just really having a hard time. She knew her mom had passed away.
So the cat felt bad about losing her mother?
Yes.
No kidding?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, was this a cat that was not a kitten anymore, right?
No.
It was an older cat?
Mm-hmm.
And it still had that connection?
Yep.
With its mother?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, with its owner. Its owner. And that's what they call their owners, is their mom.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the mother of the cat.
No, the mother of the cat. No, that their mom, their actual human, their human mother had passed away,
and she was that upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yep.
You know, I remember when my mom passed away, and our cat just didn't seem to be fazed by it, but you're saying that she definitely was. And maybe she was just trying to be empathetic to everybody. Because I remember she came around and she sat on people's laps and whatever.
Yeah, and sometimes they'll do that. You know, they'll feel that the people are really upset and they take it upon themselves, you know, that's their job.
Do they know?
Comfort people.
I'm sorry, Jill. Do they know when somebody, you know, if they don't see it, do they know that somebody's passed away?
Yes. Yep.
And that's kind of a telepathic connection?
Yeah. And I think sometimes that they even see the people in spirit form, too.
Yes, because they have the ability. Animals seem to have that ability, don't they?
Yeah, they're very much more connected, I think, to the spirit world than we are.
And we could be, right?
Yes.
But we've kind of lost that, maybe?
We have, yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. So people have to clear themselves. Is there anything they have to eat or not eat to help this process? Do you avoid certain foods? Or?
No.
Okay.
No.
You don't worry about that.
No.
And then relax, and then just try to, and then sometimes you're saying it's going to come to you, you're going to be able to hear it, or sometimes you're going to see a picture.
Or see it.
Or feel it.
And it kind of depends what kind of person you are. I'm an artist, so I'm a very visual person, so I get a lot of pictures.
Hmm.
Some people, you know, are just better at hearing, and so they'll hear the words. You know, some people would just know. So you'll ask the animal, you can ask them, you know, who their best friend is, and you may get a picture of a white poodle. And so then you say to the owner, you know, do they have a white poodle friend? And they can verify for you. And it's really kind of neat.
Right.
And to not beat yourself up over it either, because it is a learned skill. So if they say, no, they don't have a white poodle friend, but, oh, they do have a white Jack Russell friend, you know, so at least you got the white dog part, so
right.
you can pat yourself on the back.
So don't you think that developing our own abilities, if you want to call them ESP abilities, that's something that takes time and is only going to get better the more you do it?
Exactly. Yep, it takes practice. And I think people get frustrated and quit too early.
Mm, takes a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that you're still in a process of learning how to do this better and better?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Every time I do a reading, I think you learn something new. You learn how to get better. I think a lot of it is interpreting, too, because you get pictures and feelings, and then to interpret what you get takes a little practice. And even to put words to what you get, sometimes you're stumbling trying to find words to describe what they're trying to get.
So do you have any like readings that you could talk about that maybe just were really, really neat? Do you mind talking about that at all, Jim?
No, that's fine.
Do you have one that comes to mind that just really maybe brought comfort or maybe helped people understand their pet better so they could get along with them better?
Yes, they're... one of my favorites was this couple that had a Weimaraner, and those are hunting dogs that are, you know, very high strung, and he had terrible separation anxiety, and so I went to talk to him about it, and, you know, just sort of going in assumed that he was, you know, just hated being away from his people or didn't get enough exercise. But what I got was such a surprise, because he told me he was very upset when they were away because people would come to the house and take things out of the garage while the people were gone.
Hmm.
But I got the feeling that, you know, they weren't being robbed, but that he knew these people. And but it was, you know, he was upset because his family didn't tell him, you know, so-and-so is going to come to the house, they're going to borrow our tools, you know, and whatnot, and didn't give him a heads up. So he thought they were being robbed. And it actually turned out the couple said that his brother did come over and borrow tools.
Hmm.
And, so I thought it was really neat. You just don't understand.
Did he calm down after that?
And he did. So I told the people to, you know, give him a heads up when someone's going to come over, or even just to tell him we're going to work, we're going to be gone, you know, all day, but we'll be home at the end of the day. And
do they understand that?
They do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you just speak, I mean, obviously they don't speak English, do they?
Well, they do, but they, when you talk to your animal, you also use the pictures in your mind.
Mm.
You know, so when you say, we'll be home from work this evening, you automatically picture yourself pulling in the driveway and it's kind of dusk and, you know, walking in the door, and that's what they pick up on.
Okay.
Sort of the pictures that you've already formed in your
mind. So really, as a tip right now, people could... First thing they could do then, maybe if they're having some difficulties or not understanding, is start talking to them, right?
Exactly, yes. Yep, just ask them what you would like. And it doesn't always work because they're like children. You know, if you tell your cat, don't run across the road, you know, if they see a squirrel and they want to run across the road, they live in the moment. That's what they do.
Right, they're going to do it anyway.
Yep, But you can kind of at least tell them what you would like, and they really do try to make you happy.
Hmm.
So if, you know, if your cat's not using the litter box and you don't have the ability to, you know, find out why, but you could say, you know, it's really upsetting to me that you don't do this. Do you think you could try? And sometimes, you know, you may get the feeling like they just want plain sand in their box.
Hmm.
And so you should go with just feelings that you get that seem to come out of nowhere.
No kidding. That's really interesting.
People second guess themselves all the time. And they're like, oh, well, that's just dumb. That's a stupid idea. But if you get something that just sort of happens to pop into your head and seems a little weird, you should go with it because it's probably coming from your pet.
Interesting. We're going to continue this talk in just a moment. Jill Cornwell out of Petoskey, Michigan, my guest. She does something that's called telepathic animal communication. She's been at it for 10 years. Matter of fact, if you want to email her, find out more, maybe she can help you. JillCornwell@gmail.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about animals from the other side. My goodness.
Out there.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. My guest this week is really a unique individual, and I'm glad I finally found somebody that does what Sonia Fitzpatrick does. Let me tell you that I heard Sonia for the first time on Sirius Satellite Stars 102. And I used to have a satellite, you know, I used to get that subscription. I don't get it anymore. But I would catch her once in a while on a Tuesday. And Sonia, it was just amazing the stuff she said. I always wondered if it was real. Well, then I checked out her website, and then I found out it would cost $300 to get Sonia to even talk to you. And I thought, no way am I paying that. But you know what? My guest this week, very reasonable price, $45. And on top of that, she's willing to teach you how to do it yourself. Now, doesn't that seem like, you know, you may not believe in this, but I just think that's incredible. She's really not in it. And I don't have a problem if somebody's in it to make a buck, if they can help you. And I think of all the people that are pet owners that grieve, myself included, when my cat died. So, you know, if you love animals, maybe it's worth checking out. Jill strikes me, again, I know, it's just my perception, which may be, I don't know, dulled. That's just the way I feel. I feel good about her, and especially since she's willing to help you out. That's awesome. So thanks for listening to Out There. You found the program at outthere.podbean.com. If you have questions or comments or anything at all, feel free to contact me, tj2@up.net, tj2@up.net. And also, if you would like to even be a guest on the show, I'd like to have you. Thanks for listening.
This is Ingrid Dean, author of Spirit of the Badge, Stories of Divine Guidance, Miracles, and Intuition. You are with TJ Ryan on Out There.
My name is TJ Ryan. You're listening to Out There. Jill Cornwell is from Petoskey, Michigan. She's my guest today. We're talking about telepathic animal communication. She's a veteran of that. She's been doing it for 10 years. And she kind of just got self-started. She said she listened to Sonia Fitzpatrick's book. And I'm familiar with that woman, and I just think it's really neat. So now we're going to head down a path of, okay, let's say your pet passes away. Is there like a kitty heaven? Do you know anything about that? Is there a doggy heaven? What happens to our animals when they go?
They go to heaven. I think a lot of times they kind of stay close to us for a while. There was one reading I did not too long ago whose woman had she had a boxer who passed away, and he showed me that he still follows her everywhere.
Really?
Yep. And it's kind of neat because a lot of them do sort of stick around for a while.
Now, do these people have evidence? I mean, is there anything weird that happens that people can notice?
Some people, if I say something, it will bring to mind something that had happened that they sort of passed off, you know, like hearing the click of their toenails, you know, behind you, or... one woman, I said, your dog sleeps on your bed with you. And she could feel, you know, the bed shake sometimes.
Yes.
or the warm spot where they would lay. So, yeah, it's kind of neat that they get verification.
Now, could they possibly come back years later and
yes.
visit you?
Yep, they do. They actually will reincarnate.
But I mean, before we get to that, I mean, like in a spirit, my cat, we had a cat called Teddy Bear. He was a big orange Angora tabby. And we had him for 17 years, and him and I were really close. And I moved out of the house when I was like 20 years old or so, and he eventually died, and I didn't think about him for a long time. Years later, like maybe in the 90s, he started like coming to me in dreams, and he was always around me, and I could, and he did the same things he did. And so, I mean, had he, was that still his spirit, or is that just me thinking that he was around me?
Yeah, no, that's probably his spirit, just coming to see you. It may have been a time in your life when you needed comfort, or, you know, he just decided, or probably he was always there and you just reached a point where you could perceive him.
Interesting. So there's no real time period before they, like you said, you were going to talk about that, they actually come back.
Yeah, they, you know, time on the other side really doesn't exist.
So they could be, I mean, where are they when they go from here? Where do you know? Well, maybe you don't know that.
I don't really know. I assume it's heaven. They seem
there's
happy.
Another place. There's another place they go. So it's not like they're, you know, some people think the value of animals on this planet is just nothing more than food. But you're saying every animal probably has they all have souls and they're all going to continue to come around, right?
Yep.
Now, do you believe at all, Jill, that like some of the ants, do you eat meat at all?
I do.
Okay, so do you feel that some animals are here to serve us in that respect?
Yes, I think that they know when they come here that, you know, when you know as you come in as a cow that your life here isn't going to really be very long. And I had one psychic tell me that cows come back as spirits that need a lifetime of rest. You know, so nothing's expected of a cow. You come here, you eat, you drink, and you know, serve your time. And
now, we talked about reincarnation and that animals and all of us, why do we do this? Do you have any philosophy or understanding why we keep coming back and doing those kind of things?
I think that we just have things we need to learn here.
So it's kind of a learning place.
It is.
In your
perspective. I had read that Earth is actually the place where it's you learn the most because it's the hardest. It's hard being having your lifetime on Earth. So that's when you have most of your growth, I guess.
You can, right? Some of us don't.
Some of us don't, I think.
Some of us might have to do it a few more times.
Some of us catch on a little slower.
Some of us might have to do it a few more times, maybe, huh?
Yes.
How many times, I mean, how long do you think, is this something, a process that takes a long, long period of time?
I think so.
Yeah, it could be thousands of years, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever wondered about what you were previous to this?
I have talked with a psychic who does past life stuff. And, yeah, it's very interesting. She told me about a few of my past lives and some of the things that I had to overcome and how it impacts my life now. And it's really very interesting.
Do you care to share any of those previous lifetimes?
Sure.
One when you were the Queen of the Nile, maybe?
Yeah, no, I know. You know how someone's always someone famous? Yeah. No, I actually, one lifetime was, I was a little girl who, I had leprosy, and they took me away from my family quite young. I think I was like 12, and they took me to a leper colony. And they told me when they were taking me away that I was just going to go someplace for a little while. And they, you know, they just never told me I was never going to see my family again. And so she said I have, you know, some abandonment issues from that. And I didn't think, you know, at the time, I thought, well, that seems kind of silly because I don't really, you know, I don't really feel like I worry about being abandoned. But I think there was one time in college that I went away to school in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was a long way from home. And, you know, for the first couple semesters, it was great. And then all of a sudden, I just felt like I can't be here anymore. I want to go home. And my mom said, no, you need to finish out the school year. And looking back on that, I thought, oh, I could see how maybe that would relate to being a 12-year-old in a leper colony, you know, where you really want to go home, but people are telling you you can't go home. Yeah, so I
So that was possibly being carried over a little bit.
Yeah, yep. So I thought, that is interesting, because at the time I thought it was a little weird for me to suddenly just, you know, be homesick. And.
So you've never really felt, have you ever felt like you're really drawn to a certain time period, and then you found out maybe a little bit about... Have you ever had that feeling, Jill?
A little bit. I'm really kind of drawn to the Celtic, the Irish type stuff. And I haven't had her, this woman who does the past lives, I didn't ask her about that yet. But apparently, you know, you can come back for 100 lifetimes.
Yeah.
And, so I think that people who are drawn to certain time periods or certain cultures, my brother, he's very much into, old English, Victorian type stuff, and he even wears a top hat and spats. And he just talked with a psychic who told him, your last life was in the Victorian era, and you would wear top hat and spats. And I thought that was funny, because she doesn't know him at all.
Well, the thing is also, you see these people that are drawn passionately to something, like the Civil War reenactors.
Right.
Now, what I think it's neat, but I wouldn't want to give up a weekend to drive all the way down to wherever these places are. But I think it's just so cool that people do that. But what gives them that passion?
I think, you know, that they were there, or maybe they have this draw for unfinished business.
And the same with, like, movies. You know, a lot of people are drawn to certain movies, and I just wonder, here's a good example, Titanic.
Yes.
Now, did people go to see that because it was this fantastic romantic movie, or was kind of history recreated, or did a lot of those people live through that?
Yeah, my sister-in-law, when she saw that movie... She actually had a panic attack in the theater while she was watching that movie.
No kidding.
And I thought, that was kind of interesting. Yeah, I thought, I wondered if she was there.
And you know what also I think, because obviously there were millions of people that saw the movie and they all weren't on the boat.
Right.
But if we, on an average, and I don't know how accurate this is, but it seems somewhat through research of reincarnation, if we come back every 70 years or so, roughly, think about the time when that movie came out in 1998, subtract 70, maybe a lot of people lived through that and remembered it.
Right.
And that's what I thought maybe drew them, because that was just a movie that was a good movie, but why so many folks went to see it? And now they're saying similar things about Avatar, that there's something that has maybe a deeper level of consciousness that affects all of us. That draws us to that. I don't know how we got on this topic. We're supposed to talk about animals. But, you know, Jill, there's just many things. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, is there anything more you want to add before we wrap this up?
Nope, just that you can reach me at my email. And if you're interested in having a communication with your own pet, I'd be happy to do that.
Great. So not only will you help them talk to it, but maybe give them some idea how they can do it themselves. I think that's awesome, Jill. I really do. I think you're not just out to, hey, give me your money. I'll see if I can talk to your pet. Good luck.
Right, yep, because I'm very willing to help you learn how to do it yourself, too, if you want to do
that. That's the true art of giving back.
Yep.
Awesome. I'm so glad you're my guest today, Jill.
Thank you, TJ.
Jill Cornwell, and it's telepathic animal communication. And again, if you want to find out more, and maybe she can help you. And those of you that love your pets, that's probably a deeper love than you have for your husband or your wife. some of you, right? So feel free to contact Jill. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin McLeod.
Telling you. Well, my cat, it was funny because I had two cats at the time, and one of them was having accidents, and I thought it was the other cat. And so one morning I told my husband, I said, well, I'm going to take Bennett to the vet today. And right at that moment, Preston, my other cat, squatted right in front of me and peed on the floor. And he was saying, no, Mom, it's me. I'm like, oh, so, you know, even animal communicators have problems with their own pets sometimes. Oh, Preston, I'm so sorry.